The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Boy, new beginnings. We've been talking about new beginnings, and we believe that God wants us to have new beginnings. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell all the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Hallelujah. How many need that kind of a miracle in your life? A miracle that it just meets your need, no matter what your need is. I want to talk to you this morning about how to qualify for a miracle like that, how to qualify for a new beginning, because that's what's happening in this lady's life. She thought it was over. She thought it that was the end. She didn't know what she was going to do. She was going to lose her two sons. And let me tell you something. It was more than just she had compassion for her two sons. Losing her two sons meant she had no one to care for her. She would have been alone. So there was a lot of things going on. She loved her sons, I'm sure. And she wanted those two sons to be with her. However, there was a lot going on in this woman's head. She just saw the end of her life flashing before her. How many of us have circumstances in our life right now where we feel desperate? That's where she was. She was so desperate to have something happen for her. She needed a miracle from God. She qualified for a new beginning. She qualified for a new beginning. Now, when Elijah was taken into heaven, Elisha was there, of course. God spoke to Elijah and told him to choose Elisha and cause him to come along and be his subordinate and teach him to be the next prophet. And when he did, Elisha asked God, or he asked Elijah, he said, when Elijah asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a double portion of your power. Double portion of your anointing." Elisha was asking to be the next prophet as Elijah was prophet. But he was asking even for more than what Elijah had. He wanted a double portion. There is nothing wrong for you asking for a double portion of what someone else might have. I'm telling you. God wants you to have a double portion. And I'm talking about spiritual power here. I'm not talking about a double portion of riches and finances, all that stuff. The Word of God is very clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. I'm talking about getting close to God so that you can have a double portion of the anointing of the power of God in your life. Glory. We need a double. We need that in our nation today. We need a double portion poured out on every person. He was asking for something that was an incredibly hard thing to do. In fact, Elijah said, "This is a very hard thing you've asked for. But nonetheless, you've asked for it, and it's going to happen." And history records, the Bible records, that not only did he have a double portion of the anointing, but he did double the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah did 7, and Elisha did 14. Recorded. Now, we know there's probably a lot more than that, but that's what was recorded in the Scripture. He got the double portion. He merely asked for it. The Word's very clear. If you ask, you shall receive. Do you want that power in your life? Do you want your family healed? Do you want to overcome the addictions and the habits that you have in your life? Seek God. Cry out. Give me that double portion, God. Cry out to the Lord, but ask Him. Get serious about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get before Him. All right. The first thing that we want to talk about this morning is serve and obey God. How to qualify for a new beginning. First thing is serve and obey God. This woman's husband had the reputation of being a godly man. She told Elisha right from the beginning, listen, he's a prophet. He's one of your prophets. And he's been a good man. And now he's gone. Elisha knew him to be a man that feared God. If he had not been, he wouldn't have been worthy to be one of the prophets because they had very high standards for those people. So what we're seeing here is that he was probably one of the 7,000 that God told Elijah had been set aside that wouldn't worship Baal. So he was a very faithful man, very faithful to God, very faithful. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, beginning with verse 18, after the Mount Carmel victory, Elijah ran in fear because Jezebel was going to kill him. He had this great victory. He called down fire from heaven after pouring barrels and barrels of water on the sacrifice. The Baal prophets were jumping around, trying to cut themselves, calling out for their God to bring down the fire. Nothing happened, and Elijah walks up and says, pour water on it, pour more water, dig a ditch around it, pour a bunch of water on it. And then he called down the fire from heaven, and it consumed. And the Bible, the Word of God says that it licked up the water. It consumed the water. That was the power that came down. A great victory. And then right after that, he ran off into the wilderness because Jezebel was trying to kill him. He feared, listen, he didn't fear all those Baal prophets. I think it was like 400 of them. He didn't fear them. He feared one woman. All you guys can identify with that, right? Amen. Come on. Sheesh. Always got to go there. Hallelujah. One woman. I mean, this astounds me. He didn't fear all that. He didn't fear the armies. How many times Ahab sent armies against him and tried to kill him? It's like he didn't fear, but he feared Jezebel. Jezebel was a powerful woman. Jezebel was operating under a supernatural spirit, just like Elijah was operating under a supernatural spirit. Only hers was from the other side, the enemy side. She had great power and authority. Now, he had a temporary lapse in faith here. How many of you have ever been there? Yes, come on. Yes, we all experience that. I mean, we can have a great victory in our life and turn right around and cower in the face of the enemy. Yes. It just happens to us. However, the important thing is that we continue, we get back on track and we continue to worship the Lord. We continue to serve Him. So we can learn some things from these people of old. These are true stories. These things happen. And we're given these accounts in the Scripture to strengthen us and build our faith. To show that these people were just like the rest of us. The New Testament said, He's a man just like the rest of us. A person, a human being. We must get serious about hearing and obeying the voice of God. When Elijah was in the wilderness, he heard the voice of God. He got serious about it. He needed a word from God. The prophet Joel tells us how to do this. Joel 2:12, it says this, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Sometimes we have to get down and weep and mourn and seek the face of God. Sometimes we're in situations and circumstances in our life where we just don't know what to do. And yes, we're going to weep and mourn. I believe sometimes we have to be driven to our knees in order to seek, really seek the face of God. I know in my own life when things are going real smooth, I can have a tendency to just cruise. I just put it on cruise control. But man, when something happens, I have to cry out to God. When there's a circumstance that comes up in my life that I can't handle, and believe me, there's a lot of them, I have to cry out to God. Why won't I learn just to be so close to God that I don't have to go through that nonsense? I'm just there with Him and serving Him and hearing His voice. Praise God. I hope that we can learn to do that. Serve and obey God. Be faithful like this man was faithful. Serve and obey God like Elijah was faithful, like Elisha, like this man, this woman's husband was faithful. Number two, things we don't like, be in a desperate situation. The taking of boys into slavery to pay debts was a common practice back then. They did those things. This woman was in a very, very desperate situation. Listen, you may be in something real similar this morning. You may be losing your family. Or think you are, or losing a loved one. You may be in a financial situation that you can't get out of. You don't know where you're going to turn. It may be a situation at work. You may be in any number of desperate situations. And one thing I've learned, that what you feel like is desperate and what I feel like is a desperate situation doesn't always line up. Doesn't matter. Because if you think you're in a desperate situation, you're in a desperate situation. And you can call out to God. You qualify to seek the face of God. You qualify for a brand new beginning, no matter what your desperate situation is. Hallelujah. There should be more shouting over that. Praise God. You qualify this morning. I'd say every person sitting in here qualifies for a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. I want you to have that. A new beginning in the Lord today. Praise God. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, King David was in a desperate situation. I'm giving these scriptures so that you can look them up later. Make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Don't trust me. Do you hear me? I make a lot of mistakes. You all know that. You've heard me make numerous mistakes. When I stand up here, you've seen my life. You know I make mistakes. But one thing you do know about me as well is that I love God and I'm trying my best to serve Him. So it has nothing to do with mistakes. It has to do with our heart condition. Where are we with the Lord? That's the interesting thing about this situation, is that we can see the heart condition of this widow, the heart condition of her former husband who passed away. Elisha knew that. Elisha could see into her life. He didn't just randomly perform a miracle. He performed a miracle that God called him to perform to meet the need of a godly person. A person that was calling out and needed something to happen. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, King David is in a desperate situation. His own son, Absalom, had committed treason. And it looked like Absalom was going to take the kingdom from David. That's a desperate situation, don't you think? Not only was his kingdom about to fall, but his own flesh and blood was taking it from him. A son that he loved very much. Absalom had been given the responsibility to judge the people. And when they had complaints, he went to the gate. And when they had... that's normally where they judge the city gate. They judged the complaints and the situations that came up. The lawsuits, basically, that took place in that community, in Jerusalem. So Absalom used his influential position to influence people against David. When the people would come to him, he would say, "I'm sorry, the king can't do anything for you. But if I was the king, guess what would happen? I would take care of it for you." And this went on for a long period of time until he influenced the masses of people to the point where they turned against the great King David. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I certainly have. I've been in positions like that where someone that I trusted, that I loved, and yet they were all the time, all along, they were manipulating, controlling, and trying to move into a power, a place of power and influence to overtake what God had ordained. Those are not pleasant times, not pleasant things to happen in your life. But I can tell you this, just like with David, if you're faithful to the living God, you serve him, God will move you back into the position that he wants you to be in. He has a place for you. It doesn't matter what comes against you. You see, the word of God is very clear. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't always happen the way we want it to. I want you to understand. I can't explain some of the things that happen in my life or happen in your life. It's not fun. If you lose a loved one, how can that work to my good? You know? There are certain things that happen. We just don't, you know, it's hard to come to a realization of how this all is going to work, but I just have to trust my God. You know, I lost my dad. How's that going to work to my good, not having my dad around? I know Pastor Otis lost his father as well. Many of you have lost loved ones. How does that work to our good? I don't know. I can't tell you. But it comes out somehow. My God is faithful. My God is true. My God's word is right on. All of you, most of you know that we got that puppy. Acquired him. And we weren't sure what we were going to name him. It took a while to really come to the conclusion of what to name him. But one of the things that has been happening is that my wife would like to have a couple items, and she's been mentioning this to me from time to time. We just know we can't afford her right now. It's not like she's badgering me or anything. She just lets me know she'd like to have it when we get to the point where we can do it. She'd like to have an iPad, and she would like to have a KitchenAid. So thoughts went through my mind that maybe I could name this dog either iPad or KitchenAid and give it to her. Wouldn't be exactly what she wanted now, would it? But every time I saw it, iPad, Tammy's iPad. That's nasty, isn't it? Is that kind of mean? All right. Well, we didn't name it iPad or KitchenAid. Named it Chase. Marshall actually came up with the name of it, and it was a good name because every time Marshall and Owen come into the house and the puppy's running around, it chases them right to the couch. They just get up on the couch because they're afraid it's going to get them. Things don't always work out the way we want them to. You know, getting this puppy wasn't my plan. I didn't have a plan to have a puppy, but that puppy needs care. Somebody's got to take care of it, and some of you took it. Our plans in life, this is just an example of things aren't always going to work out the way we think they should work out. And I wish they would. I wish I could make every person's life in here wonderful bed of roses all the time. Everything would just go perfect for you. But it wouldn't be reality, would it? Because the Word of God says that we're in a battle. We are battling an enemy. And if you're in a war, there's a battle to be fought. There's warfare to be waged. And when we catch hold of the reality that there truly is warfare and we're on the winning side already, that's when we can walk in victory. That's when we can walk in the power of Almighty God. That's when we can trust our God no matter what it looks like as far as the circumstance. For David, it looked bad. And I got to tell you something. It probably didn't turn out the way David really wanted it to, but he got his kingdom back. But he lost his son. Man, that's tough. But all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. That's the word. That's God's word. Amen. Cry out to the Lord. He'll hear you. David said this during that time in Psalms 3:4. It's recorded. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Cry of a desperate man. Here, and God heard him. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is serve and obey God. The second, be in a desperate situation. And number three, give all you have to the Lord. Give your whole heart. Give everything you've got. Give it up. If there's something in the way of your relationship with the Lord, get rid of it. Get rid of that thing. The lady was asked, what do you have? And she said, well, I have oil. I have a little bit of oil. She was willing to give that up. But even more than that, the Jewish historian Josephus said the widow's husband was probably Obadiah, the steward of Ahab the king. He is the guy that hid 100 prophets in a cave and at his own expense took care of them for a long period of time. This could be the reason the house was mortgaged. He took his own money, his own resource, everything he had, because he was doing the will of God. This is very important for us to recognize. We have to be willing to give everything to our God. I'm saying you have to give your finances to God completely and totally. That means you can't hold anything back. If God tells you to do something in particular, you use your finances for that. God tells you to give a specific offering, you do it. If you see somebody that is in need, you meet those needs. You use whatever resources you have. If you just have skills and you're not using those skills for the kingdom of God, you're out of God's will. Get in it. Whatever skills and talents you have, they should be applied to the kingdom of God. Give your whole heart, everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't like to move in an area where it makes us uncomfortable, or we have to give up something that we enjoy doing, or we think we enjoy doing, whether it's a habit. You know, sometimes just habits are out of God's will. We need to get them straightened out. Here's what Psalms 126, verse 6 says. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, let me read that from the NIV Bible. It says this. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. You see, what he's saying is it's difficult sometimes to go out and plant the seed. It's labor. You have to plant the seed. You have to do what God tells you to do. You have to be obedient to the word, the Lord. But and you may weep some in doing it. But when that harvest comes up, praise God, you're going to be joyful. You're going to be excited. You're going to be thankful that you went out and sowed the seed. Because you were obedient to the Lord. That's what the scripture is telling us. That the labor in doing and being obedient to God is not always pleasant, but there is something pleasant about it, and that's when we reap the harvest. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 26, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to receive the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him, obey the commandments. Oh, I've done that from my youth. He said, okay, you lack one thing. Now listen to this. I want you to catch hold of what Jesus is saying. Jesus went right to the heart of his issue in his life. And that was his money. He said, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. You see, it wouldn't do that young man any good to go follow Jesus until he did what Jesus told him to do. Then come follow me. Get rid of that thing that's in your life that you love more than God. And that's what he was talking about. So it might be finances for you. It might be your money. I don't know. But I got a feeling in most of your lives it's something else. There may be something in your life that is keeping you from having that relationship with God that you need to have for you to be able to overcome those things that are holding you back. Those things that are keeping you from walking in the peace and the love and the satisfaction of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And then follow Jesus. Follow him with all your heart. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus tells a story about two sons. The father comes to them and he says, first son, he said, go work in my vineyard. And the son said, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll go do that. And then he goes to the next son and he says, go work in my vineyard. No, the first one, he said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then the second one, he said, yes, go work in my vineyard. And he said, okay, I'll do that, Father, right away. Well, the first one who said no reconsidered, and he went and worked in the vineyard. The second one reconsidered also, and he didn't go work in the vineyard. And Jesus asked, which one was the father more pleased with? The one that gave him lip service or the one that was obedient and did it? You see, we can change our mind. We can get right with God. We can say, oh, wait a minute, I wasn't doing the right thing, but now I choose to do the right thing, and guess what? The Father is pleased. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. He's pleased with that. He's pleased with you when you make that decision, but it can't just be lip service. How many times have we given lip service to God? Oh, God, I'm going to change that behavior. Oh, God, I'm going to change that attitude. Oh, God, I'm going to change this relationship. It's just lip service until we get serious about serving the living God. We need men and women in the kingdom of God who are serious followers of Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the kind of people God is looking for. Those that he can give that strength to. Those that he can walk beside. Those that he can lift up. Those who have wings of eagles. Stand with me. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. Three things I've talked about this morning. Serve and obey God. Be in a desperate situation. Give all that you have to God. That's what this lady did. It's where they are, her family. They had created a lifestyle of doing that. Many, many years ago, Dr. Livingston was a great missionary to Africa. He received a letter from a missionary-minded church, and that church said, Dr. Livingston, we have men who want to come and work in the mission field for you and with you. And then if they followed up, we have men and we have supplies. Are there good roads for us to be able to get to you? Dr. Livingston didn't hesitate. He sat right down, wrote a letter right back to them. And he said this, if you have men who will only come if we have good roads, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there are no roads at all. That's what Jesus wants. It doesn't matter what the path looks like. We've got to serve him. We've got to get on that road and go. There may not even be a trail there. But if Jesus is saying, do it, do it, do it, he will bless you. Hallelujah. I've asked the worship team to come back up. We're going to make Jesus the center of our life. As we wrap up this morning, I'm just going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and pray, we're not going to pray over you. We're going to let you come and pray and seek the face of God.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From the beginning to the end, it will always be all.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your power. We thank you for the ministering of the Holy Spirit to your people. We just continue, Father, to ask that you'd stir our hearts, that we'd grow ever closer to you, that we will make Jesus the center of our life, that we will be on center. Lord, we don't want to be off balance in any area. Just touch us. Help us to make commitments that we keep to serve you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We just ask that you bless and direct today, Lord, that we will be strong and faithful to glorify your name wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.